have to endure a few commercials on that, but yes, there'll always be something. There's always something on there about the temperature and the time and stuff.
Right, I seem to remember that, that it's really kind of screwy that one side of the panel has weather and one and a small and a portion of it has commercials running, or if not, they're not running commercials, they run video of your video of you know, the weather situation. Anyway. Anyway. So, what else did I want to mention? I guess that's about it. On this one, Noel, do you have any more on this? Let's do it.
No, I'd just like to know if I could use it for Wi-Fi. It'd be great in a campground.
No, you can't use it for Wi-Fi. Jim, I gotcha. Can't use it for Wi-Fi because there's a receiver preamp built into it. But you could put a Wi-Fi antenna above it. See, there's another good example. Assuming your TV is coming from the same direction as your Wi-Fi, or you don't need the two to be, you know, in the same direction, you could put together I gotta mute this. This is annoying. Anyway, the point is that the point is you could take a cantenna or something like that and put it, you know, on a insulated mount that's across the two butterfly nuts on top, and it would be balanced by hanging it forward. It would be toward the center of the it'd be above and toward the center of the mast location. And so it would be reasonably balanced. And yeah, you could have a hell of a Wi-Fi antenna. Why not? So the next thing to do is to build some sort of azimuth indicator that's actually reasonably accurate. So let's think in those terms as well. How would you build an azimuth indicator for this that had some precision? Obviously, for a mobile environment, it would not be required. Anyway, NS2K, your question?
No, just a comment. Looking at rabbitears.info, which is one of the places that accumulates various channel information for DTV stations, the lowest frequency of any New York TV station is Channel 7. That really is on Channel 7, where Channel 2 is really on Channel 33, as we used to know it. NBC is on Channel 28 and so on. So it's, who else is on the, PIX is really on Channel 11, NET is really on Channel 13, but everybody else is in the UHF range.
Okay, well, here's some interesting little facts then. I'm getting no Channel 7. I'm getting no Channel 11. And what was I the other day? I'm trying to remember. 11.3. I could have sworn I had 11.3, but maybe I'm delusional or something. Get the coax out of this. No, there's nothing coming through. Nothing. I'm swinging this by hand out of my shack just to get something going, but no. No, nothing came through. Just the no signal thing disappeared from my screen. Just got tired of pretending there was a signal. I'll bet you if I got this thing outside, the VHF high band channels, which is what 7 through 13 really are, would start to pop through. Let's see. I'm wondering if I can get 13 in here. No, I'm not getting 13 either. I'm getting the no signal. It's not even pixelating. It's not sure. It's not a stable no signal. It's just no signal. So I'm sure there's a signal out there. But so basically, what you're saying is 7, 11, 13 are really on VHF high. And that's why we're not getting them as easily as we are the UHF ones.
Yeah, I don't know about this particular antenna, but a lot of them are advertised as being DTV compatible. Well, except the problem is they're UHF only, and they don't work well at all for VHF. There are a fair number of high Vs, that's 7 to 13. There are only like 38 low Vs in the entire country. Why anyone would want to broadcast DTV on a low V frequency, I don't know. The noise there is horrendous. Anyway, seems like a really bad idea, but somebody wanted to do it. In any case, yeah, you have to be a little bit careful with some of these antennas that say they're DTV. They are UHF DTV only. And from the label on the station, it gives you no hint whatsoever as to what frequency it's really on.
No, I understand. Not a problem. Okay. Well, you know, that may be another alternative, is to, bring down the, to augment this thing with a more mature IV antenna. So you can take the folded dipole elements, which to me looks suspiciously like something you'd see on an FM antenna more than IV. And let me measure the length of each half, the folded dipole, each half of the folded dipole, while I sit here and cogitate on this. Let's see, from the feed point to the tip of the antenna are, about 18 and a half inches. So, 18 and a half inches, so that would be 37 inches. 37 times 2 is 74 inches. 74 inches would be about, 2 meters, so like, I'm going to say like 165 megahertz or so. Really not 174.
Well, keep in mind, channel 7 is really in the 66 to 72 megahertz range.
Well, that's right. That's right, it's not on VHF high. Also, this antenna is just totally hosed for that. I had this thought that it was above 174 megahertz.
Yeah, that's channel 13. Hang on. Why am I looking at these other things here? Anyway, channel 13 is like 174 megs, 174 to 180.
Okay, so that makes better sense. So, I thought channel 4 was around, the old channel 4 was around 70 megs.
Well, 6 and below are no longer exist. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Don't mind me, I'm looking at the line number, not the channel number. Yeah, channel 7 is 174 to 180. I'm sorry, I was messing up here. Channel 4 is 66 to 72.
Right, and any channel below 174 megahertz is not on their old frequency. They've been relocated somewhere else.
No, there are still 38 stations in the low V range.
Low V and what I'll call mid V, which is channels 5 and 6 between, what is it, it's 70-some-odd megahertz to 88?
Yeah, 6 is 82 to 88, 5 is 76 to 82, and of course the bottom end of channel 2 is 54.
Right, okay. We know that well. Yeah, it's not perfect gap, but there's a gap in there for some other stuff, so 2, 3, 4 are contiguous, and 5 and 6 are contiguous. But there's a gap between 4 and 5, right?
Yeah, the top of 4 is at 72, 5 starts at 76, so there's a space in there.
Yeah, so how many
should we say, spectral frequency channel 4s, are there still in existence in the country? And where are they?
I am looking here. Channel 4. I'm not sure that there really are any 4s. There are, well, I'm going to have to go to a different place here to look.
The reason why I'm asking is because I still would love to see us have a 4-meter band. And even with an STA, that might be a kick.
Okay, okay, here's the count at least. Channel 2, there are 6 stations. Channel 3, there are 7 stations. 4 has 2, 5 has 14, and Channel 6 has 9.
Yeah, I'd love to know who the 2 Channel 4s are.
That's a little harder to find, but I'll work on it.
Question?
Yeah, go ahead.
72JEK, I check, and I recall that in that 72 megahertz range there is some remote control frequencies used by model airplanes.
Right, they start at 72 and go up from there. They're 72 dot whatever. What I was politicking for, just so you know, is a 4-meter band that mirrors or partially overlaps what is now becoming, I think there are now 20 administrations around the world that have granted 70 to 70.5 megahertz for as much as 500 kilohertz of a 4-meter band. Some have given pieces of that, I just still think it'd be wonderful to go do. But alas, I digress. Alrighty. Noel, do you have any more on your little antenna here? Or do you want to bring up another subject? Noel, that's what we all keep to be here. Well, anyway, that was the long and short of what we wanted to discuss on that. But it's a very compact antenna. It's only about maybe 24 inches long, maybe it's a little longer than that, but anyway, it's not very long, and it's in a radome, and its reflector, its UHF reflector flips up and down, kind of like bat wings, and so it's not too bad, and the length is under 2 feet, by the way. I just measured it while I'm here, but marvelous little thing, and I think it's got the potential for other things. I mean, you could just, you know, for the $30, you just get yourself a little cheapy rotator out of the deal, which may not be a bad idea, especially if you can run it on DC. Don't have to worry about where it's pointed. You just go look. And as I said, the drive is a little lively. If it's ultimately a DC motor, what you may be able to do is actually kick it slowly with lower voltage in order to slow the motor down. That might be another way of approaching this, too. Anyway, I haven't ripped my controller open yet, but if Noel orders a second one, maybe we'll use his as a guinea pig to do that. I've got too many projects right now this was just a cool thing. This is fine as an antenna, and the ability to put another antenna on top of it without changing its core behavior and not even marring it, for that matter, was attractive to me. Because, as I said, there's two butterfly nuts that are plastic that hold the top and bottom, respectively, for a total of 4 butterfly nuts of the folded dipole on the back of the antenna. You could put a mount, insulated mount or something like that, and put another dipole in parallel, like a little mini Christmas tree up top of it, and it'd be very cool. Alrighty, AV2XT, John, you had a comment. K2BAR.
If we're running late, we just drop it to another time. But I was hearing rumors, stories about e-waste legislation that supposedly starts this year. And I really haven't heard much detail on it, but the basic idea, I guess, would be that you can't throw your TV out on the corner anymore. I was wondering if anybody has any additional information on the e-waste legislation that's supposedly coming into effect either in New York State or here in New Jersey.
Comment, K2DSL.
David, go ahead.
I don't know about the legislation, but I know my town, which is Waldwick, just started a collection for that. I think it's one day a month, a collection for that type of stuff. I don't know if it's because it's tied to any specific requirement, but they just started it this month, January. K2DSL.
Thank God you don't have to talk much this weekend. You sound like you have the cold I have.
Yeah, frog in the throat doesn't help either.
Yeah, no, I felt it coming on 2 days ago, and yesterday was worse, and today I was sneezing and coughing for the first time. It was lovely. Alrighty. I just find myself drinking enormous amounts of cold and warm liquids and running to the bathroom about every hour because of the amount of liquids I'm drinking, just to keep things functional. Alrighty. I haven't heard anything about that, except I heard something about it in New York a while back, but not specific to New Jersey. What I can say is that places like Bergen Metals will take your scrap electronics cheerfully. If it doesn't have a CRT in it, they'll take it, as long as you break it down to the metal parts, so you can rip the plastic off the case and just bring them a chassis or a circuit board, a pile of circuit boards. They'll cheerfully take it and pay you something for it.
It's the AMI.
Good, Tony.
I was down today to the River Ridge Recycling Center. They have a storage container, you might call it. It looks like a large covered dumpster. And it was packed with TV sets, including several flat-screen TVs. People are dumping non-usable stuff. I understand, I had read someplace that there's a fine if you leave your computer or your TV monitor at TV computer or your TV set at the curb, that you no longer can just leave them out for garbage, that they have to be either returned to a recycling center, or some towns will be setting up a recycling depot or a recycling schedule. But there definitely is now a law that prevents you from, or suggests that you don't prevent you to leave your monitor at the curbside any longer.
So you got to leave it in front of somebody else's curbside, right? No, just kidding. Okay, I gotcha. The day is coming. California's had that law. In fact, California cheerfully extracts money from you at time of purchase and gives you a portion of it back. And if you don't have the original bill of sale that says that you paid it, it's okay. You get to pay a $30 recycling fee for your TV. Isn't that great?
I'll think of any way to collect money from you.
That's how I see this. I'm sorry. Considering, my town does do recycling, and we pay people to take our recycling. We don't get money for it. We pay people. So go figure that. Just befuddled, no end. Absolutely no end. So we're doing that. And then I can't tell you the number of places that have recycling containers, and they quietly take the contents of the recycling containers and when no one's looking and mix with the garbage, and it goes in the same dumpster, what the hauler takes away. Unfortunately, sometimes there's not anybody to pay for it to be separate, and therefore it gets commingled anyway, despite all the good intentions, and maybe even fees collected. All right, well, now that I've been a wet blanket for anybody who's a greenie, I didn't mean to be. I mean, I like the idea of recycling. I really do. Honest. But, things have to be driven by market forces other than through taxation. I feel very strongly about that as well. So I'm really tired of people reaching in my pocket. I don't care who you are. I've gotten to the point where I don't even believe the education costs what it should. But we're not going to go there right now, okay? With the three generations of my family all trying public schools and all end up in private schools, I think that, that may say something, but who knows? One-stop shopping, one-size-fits-all education model doesn't work for everybody, nor should it be expected to. Anyway, does everybody here like the same kind of HF rig? For that matter, does everybody here want the same HF rig, the same model? if you don't, why would you want your taxation structure and your personal preferences for education and things like that to be the same? Think about that. I like ICOM. Somebody else likes Kenwood. Somebody else likes, SDR radio. Somebody else likes Soft Rock 40s, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So let's talk about ham radio and get off the politics. So, any other questions for the net? This is K2BAR.
W2JEK comment.
Go ahead, Doc.
I just want to mention that on January 21st is our next PE session. That's at 7 o'clock. That's a Friday night up at the Westwood Regional High School in classroom number 123. Back to that.
So, the 21st, Friday night, classroom 123 at Westwood High School in Washington Township. You got that right?
Correct.
And the time is 7 p.m.?
Roger.
Ready. Good, good. All right. I was paying attention. Anyway, another thing to add to your list, gentlemen, is that Joyce and George and Don and God knows whoever else came down to run a test session a week ago last Wednesday, a week ago yesterday, and we now have 6 new technicians. I know 2 of them pretty well. They are KC2 Zulu Papa Sierra and KC2 Zulu Papa Tango. And they are, scout in my troop and his father. And they do have a radio, which is kind of cool. They were given it by a friend a few months ago, actually. So he's going to get young Sean and his father, John, on the air. And we'll start doing that. And we now have a couple other boys in our Boy Scout troop who got radios over the recent Christmas period. Others who got antennas and things like that. So we're thinking about having something, kind of a mini version of Kid Night on a selected Wednesday a month at our troop meeting place for our venture crew and for our scouts, as well as anybody else who'd like to come. So we'll be doing that, as you know, with our Boy Scout troop meetings. We got Tuesday night Kid Nights, is not an option, but we're looking at, maybe having one where we do, antenna building of various kinds for a while, and maybe radio direction finding, antenna building, and move on to other kits and things like that. But, start with simple things like antennas and power systems and basic system integration, making whatever radio they have into a functional go kit kind of thing, and then move it on to other interests as time and interest allow. So we'll be doing that over the next couple of months, so I'll keep you guys posted on that, too. If you're interested, you're more than welcome to come. So I'm going to have a couple of Wednesday nights that I'm going to, shoot to hell for this stuff, too. It'll be good. Anyway, anything else from people? It's K2BAR. Well, I just wanted to say thank you to Joyce and George and Don and the other guys who did the testing again, and also to Rachel, who did the extra tutoring. I did the technician on that Wednesday while she did the extra, and I did the general the day before. One of the things we did come clear with is next time we do a 2-day, all 3 license class type of exercise is that we will make the extra both days. That will help a lot, and we'll go from there. We did learn that. We are scheduling so far a technician class on the Friday after Easter, which I believe is the 26th. I think that's the 26th. I think Easter is 21st of April. God, I may have that wrong, but anyway, something like that. And 21st of April is Easter, I believe. And then following Friday, we'll run a course. We'll also have a flea market on that Saturday, just for people who are interested in April. And the Barra auction is in March, at the March meeting. It'll be on a Sunday, the first Sunday in March. So that'll be good as well. We also heard about the Ham Fest up in Orange County. So things are starting to percolate for the new year. Okay, well, I want to thank everybody for ringing in the new year with a lively net session. I really appreciate everybody's participation. And one of the things I'm going to be looking for is a charge controller for my solar panel. So I've got three in our 15-watt panels, and our Boy Scout troop adventure crew have three. So I'm looking for a charge controller that might be reasonable, other than the original one that is not good for floating batteries, I've been told, because it tends to overcharge batteries. But in any case, that's pretty much what I have on the list. We'll talk about that another time unless someone has something else on that. But have a great evening and enjoy it. Thanks again for the use of the repeater to the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, and look forward to seeing you guys at the Barrett meeting on Sunday. This is KTBAR WU2TTT, off and clear. Thanks. Thank you.